Reading this morning is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, followed by Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the disciples' feet.
There we go, that's what we want. Well, we continue, of course, to look at the book of Acts. And it's wonderful to see the progression that we get in Acts. It's a story that's being told about the early church. And it's a privilege to read the book of Acts because we see what they get up to. We get into the life of the early church. We get into the life of people who are doing something they've never done before. You see, we tend to forget, we come to church and, you know, we enjoy fellowship and everything, but we tend to forget that they were living in times that had not happened before. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what singing a hymn was. They didn't know anything. They were doing this for the first time. And so the book of Acts is really, really clear because it really does. This thing never likes me. What have I ever done to you? Oh, there we are. There we go. There. It really is a great book because it really does do what it says on the tin. We see that every day, it was a daily activity. This was something they just did. They were learning. They knew fellowship with one another. They knew about taking communion to remind them of what Jesus had done for them. They were in unity together and they were sharing. Is also appropriate for us because it covers our text for the year, that lovely one that's right behind me now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's great. We can do that. Just can we paint over the bottom bit? Love your neighbour as you love yourself. And that brings a double challenge, doesn't it? A, to love ourselves, but also to go on loving others. So it's a great book. It's a book that is full of action. It's full of doing. It's called the book of Acts, not the book of thoughts. It's called the book of Acts, not the book of talking about things. It's about action. It's about doing things. It's about discipleship. Because here were people who were discipling one another before discipleship was a thing. They hadn't even invented that word. And here were people fellowshipping together, joining together, fellowshipping as one another, with one another, discipling one another. You may recognise this guy, he's Rowan Williams, Archbishop of Canterbury at one time. And he described mission like this: it's finding out what God is doing and joining in. I love that quote. Mission is all about finding out what God is doing and joining in. And that's what they were doing. They'd never done this before, but right now they were finding out what God was doing, and as a group, as a God's people, they were finding out what God was doing. As a community, they were finding out what God was doing among them, and they were joining in. They didn't know what this was, but they were joining in. Have you ever been to something where something happens and you've never done it before? And you're kind of, you know, like me, when I go to a nightclub. So what's funny about that? There's no age limit that I know of. And you know, they're dancing and you join in. Well, that's what they were doing. Well, not that. Well, there might have been, I don't know. We're not told what they were doing. But they were just joining in something they'd never seen before, something they never knew before. They were just getting involved. And so we see three areas that happened for them. It happened because they were devoted to discerning the apostles. That's a bit of a strange title. What I mean by that is they were, there's not much room, you see. They were devoted to following the apostles, of following what they were doing, getting involved with what they were doing right there and then. They were devoted to daily gatherings. That was something they were devoted to, and they were devoted to distribution, distributing what God had given them that they would then pass on and give to others. So here they were getting involved in what God was doing. So they were, first of all, then devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were really listening. First of all, then, it was teaching. The word there literally means instruction. This wasn't just some hairy-fairy teaching. It was instruction. So when I get the leaflet that tells me how to put furniture together, don't laugh, my wife, be quiet. You know, when I get my furniture from IKEA in bits and pieces, and I read the instructions. What's the instruction doing? It's telling me what to do. It's teaching me. It's telling me that the best thing to do right now is to pick up the telephone and get someone to put it together. But that's what it's doing. The Bible wasn't just a little bit of information. It was teaching them, instructing them what to do. They were discerning the apostles in every area. Secondly, they were discerning in fellowship. And everything that they were doing was this. They were devoted to their teaching, and their teaching was ongoing. It was instruction. It was instructive. Their teaching was telling them what God wanted them to do. They were listening to it. They were thinking. And it's something that's about deep things. They weren't just playing on their iPhone while they were teaching. There were no iPhones at the time. Aren't we grateful? They were listening. They were taking in. They were thinking. They were considering what that meant they needed to do. It was important to remind that they'd just gone through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that had come to them. And now in that anointing, they were finding out what comes next. Secondly, they were devoted to fellowship. The word there is a lovely one. We know it so well, some of us. The word is koinonia. I just love that word. I haven't got a clue what it means. No, I do. It means partnership, participation. It's about joining in. It's not about standing on the outside. It's fellowship that was joining in. It was something that they took part in. Look at this real and meaningful fellowship. It was ongoing. It was taking part of them. Look what they did as part of this fellowship. Verse 45, they sold property and gave to those in need. That's chapter 2, 45. Chapter 4, 32. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. Verse 32 again, they shared everything they had. And then verse 34, and it's an important bit here, from time to time. It was an ongoing thing. From time to time, as it happened, as the needs came around, as it was felt to be necessary, from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and distributed the money to the needy. It became common practice, so much so that it says again in chapter 4, 34, there were no needy persons among them. No needy people among them. From time to time, as the needs were there, they shared with one another. Absolutely. Then we see that they were also devoted to the apostles' teaching on the discerning of breaking of bread. They were absolutely committed to discerning what the breaking of bread was all about. And again, that word that I've used every time, it was ongoing. These things were not just one-off. It was ongoing. They didn't pray once. They kept praying. They didn't fellowship one day. They kept fellowshipping. It was an ongoing thing. And the breaking of bread was familiar. Of course, 11 of these 12 leaders had been around at the time of Jesus. And they'd watched him. They were fellowshipping with him. They were walking. And they were there when he broke the bread. So they were now passing on news of something they really did know what they were doing. Really did know what they were talking about. They remembered when Jesus broke the bread and said, "This is my body broken from you." And took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you." They knew about that. They were passing that on. And they lastly were devoted to the apostles as they were discerning prayer. What did these apostles mean by praying? These were people that in this sort of way were probably doing it for the first time. Again, it was ongoing. And we can really say these prayers were awesome. Because it says, uses that word, that they were in awe of these people. It was an awesome time. The Greek word here talks about joy and no. Literally talks about fear, terror, alarm. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that when we join together, we're terrified of God. But it means that we're awed by his presence. So powerful, so amazing, so awesome is his power that we fall at his feet and worship him. It shows something here of the reality of God. As God was moving in fresh ways, God anointed them with the Spirit, God has sent people to them. We know of at least 3,000 people who had been saved, who came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They saw signs and wonders, and they were in awe. Not terrified in a bad way, but terrified in a good way. How amazing is this? Can this really happen? Can this man really do these things? Is that what God really wants us to do? And then we're encouraged again by the fact in verse 44 that all the believers were together. All the believers were stronger together as they worshipped together, as they became a living community together for God. All because of that day of Pentecost where we saw last week that great awesome power of God. The idea of sharing amongst their communities. We read much throughout history. This guy is Plato. He can get out of the way for a minute. This guy is Plato. And he says, friends have everything in common. That's what we should have. Everything in common. You may notice there might be a similarity-ish. Anyway, there we are. I don't know if he was rich or not, but I know he went bust. Thank you. Get those drums out. But also we have this guy. And this guy is famous too, Pythagoras. And he said, among friends, everything is common. Now, I don't know why they wrote those words, but I know they could have been written by about the early church. These wonderful ways in which he was working. I just need some of this. I might hold on to it. Then we see, secondly, that they were devoted to daily gatherings. Now, we might say that's okay for them. You know, they didn't have jobs. Perhaps they did. I don't know. But those that were, they were devoted to daily gatherings. Notice some of the words there. They continued, it says. that they continued to meet together. They broke bread, it says, with sincere hearts. It says they were praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. Not some of the people, those around. They got their favor. And it says that people were added daily, such as were being saved. Now we see there that it was the Lord. But notice this, it was the Lord who added daily. He might have used them, and I'm sure he did, but it was the Lord. He might use me, and I'm sure he might. He might use you, and I'm sure he will. But it will be God who does it through you, that we are his conduits. And thirdly, my last point is this, they were devoted to distribution. It says that, first of all, there was devotion in their teaching and fellowship. Not demanding, but devotion. It says that they divided all that they had. I always get Rosie to check my PowerPoints to make sure that they work and I haven't done something silly. And she read that word divided. She said, you can't have that. But they weren't divided, but the gifts were divided, all that they had. Again, it was daily. Do you get a theme here? It was common practice. And it sees that they enjoyed favor. There was a development in what they were doing. Again, people were getting saved. There was a duplication. So how do we wind these three thoughts out? What do they mean to us as God's church? This guy is John Stott, a famous pastor and teacher. And he says that the apostles in submission to each other in worship and God, in love, and to God in worship and the world in outreach. He says they committed to the apostles by submitting to them, by listening to them, by saying, we will do what you're teaching, we're listening, we are going to do that. And they were devoted to each other in love, true love, fellowship love, the love of Christ through them. They were devoted to God in worship daily, and they were devoted to the world in outreach. That's what we do. That's what God wants us to do. That's how we reach a community for him. I remember many years ago seeing Desmond Tutu on the TV, and he was talking very excitedly, like he did, you know, he wasn't a quiet character, and he was talking about a word, Ubuntu. And what does that mean? Well, it basically means anything. It talks about humanity, it talks about value systems, but it's sometimes translated as I am because you are. I am because we are. Or I am because you are. I am part of you. I am part of us. That's what that word means, Ubuntu. That's what we need to remember. It's all about being part of us. I am because you are. You are because I am, and we are because he is. We're gathered together in him. We are his living, vibrant community among a wider community out there. And we can do that. It's talking about coming together. Notice that. Coming together. In modern technology, we can do it all online. We can watch TV and we can watch recorded programs. Some of you might even be watching me right now in your homes. Sorry about that. And that's fine when we have to. As you know, I'm often away from here preaching in other churches. This is my church, but I'm often away preaching elsewhere. You know what I do when I get back at some point in the week, when I can? I watch to see what God is saying to my church. I am part of this family, and I want to see the recording. What are they saying? I want to make sure they're not talking about me, but badly. But what I'm saying, what's the teaching? I want to be part of this community. If I am part of, and you are, and I am, then I need to know what you're being taught. I need to know what you're hearing. It's important. Online helps me then, but when I'm here, I'm here. I want to be among those that I fellowship with. This is my community. Do you know if I miss a time without being in community, that should really hurt me? That should hurt you. If you can't be part of God's community because you can't get out or you're unwell or you're away and can't find a church or whatever, that should hurt you. because we are community. This was daily. This was sharing. This was anointed. This was something they did together, not in from distance. They were together. Someone once said it, and I don't know who it was, if God is not your passion will be your God. If God is not your passion, if unity and fellowship is not your passion, if being part of this community is not your passion, then your passion will be your God. In other words, what you put most forefront is what you worship. We're here as God's community to worship Him, and we need to be, and we are devoted, should be, to Him together. Part of who we are. So they were gathered together daily. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer, and all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Now, I'm not asking you to give everything you have right now. I don't give everything I have. I still live in my home. I still have things around me. But are we willing to share what we have if the Lord asks us to? God taught me that lesson many years ago when I was at Bible College. I hadn't got much money, and someone gave me 50p. That was a lot of money in those days. And I wanted to give something to some friends of ours who were going out on the mission field, still are friends of ours, and they were going on the mission field, and I wanted to put something in the collection. So I went around asking everyone in that church, and a lot of people, can you change a 50 pence, please? And that would be common, because 50 pence was a lot of money, and so they're bound to have less than that. And you know what? Everyone I asked said, actually, no, I don't have much change. And so when the offering came, that was the time God told me I had to give what I had. That's all I had. 50p, it didn't sound much. So what were they doing? And that's just to glorify God. I didn't find it easy, by the way. There was no halo over my head. But I knew I had to do it. So they fellowshiped. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the apostles and one another's fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, and all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. Let's pray. Father, we look at this early community and we wonder how that would happen today. But Lord, we're not in that same community, but we are in community. We're in community with one another. We're in community with you. We're in community with this wider community. And you're asking us to devote ourselves daily to prayer, as a family, to gather together in prayer, to teach our children about you, to pray with them, to read the Bible with them, to read the Bible with our family, to pray as a family, that our families should be united in daily being devoted to your word, to fellowship, to prayer. Before we go to work and school, when we come home, before we sit down and relax, before we go to bed, Lord, help us as families, as one another, as individuals, as couples, to be devoted every day to reading your word, to praying for others, to fellowshipping as a family, and then from that point, living in your community. Amen.